I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I was Sierra on That's So Raven. I was her really annoying next door neighbor.
And that's everything that people tell you, is that you're annoying.
You are so adorable. And we all thought you were annoying because we were little girls too.
We should have felt like a camaraderie because you're our age. Because like, someone our age is on Disney Channel. But we were like, God, like if I was in her shoes, I would not be annoying to Raven.
Right. There's no, Raven would absolutely love me if I was half her age.
Yes.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
And welcome to another episode of Fangirl Central.
Welcome back.
I'm Amanda.
And I am Amber.
And
we are sisters.
We are sisters.
Yeah, we always forget to say that.
Well, we don't. I mean,
on stage.
If you don't know that we're sisters, like what? Okay, anyway. This is where being a fangirl is central to our identity.
That's
and
right.
Today we have such a special guest in the studio / my apartment. Her name is Juliet Golia.
Yeah.
And she's a star.
Oh my gosh. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely.
We all know and love her.
Oh my God. You too know me.
Would you describe yourself as a fangirl?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, through and through.
What communities do you take part in?
I'm a Harry. Harry's. I'm in the Harry's.
Yeah.
So you were a Harry girl?
I was a Harry girl from the very beginning. So I'm a One Direction. I'm a directioner.
Okay.
And just from day one, Harry Styles. There was no other choice. And like, I have very strong opinions on every single member. I met them
one time.
Yeah.
How?
Should we just get into it?
Yeah, absolutely. Break down the whole story.
So I was living in New York. I was working on a TV show called The Michael J. Fox Show. Mm-hmm. And we were doing, I think we were doing press because we were like a month out of premiering. Mm. And I was doing an interview with Access Hollywood, which like, saying it right now, my life was cool. Like I was 17 years old and I was just like, yeah, whatever. Like that was just my life. So that was fun. I was doing an interview with Access Hollywood and for some reason, like I think it was also like the prime. It was 2013. It was the prime of my obsession with them too. And it was very hard for me to get through a sentence without bringing them up. And somehow like in my interview, I brought up One Direction. It had nothing to do with the show or my character really.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady interviewing me was like, oh, I'm actually going to be interviewing them tonight at the red carpet for the This Is Us, their documentary.
Oh my God. Wait a second now, because now I know the exact date of what you're talking
exactly.
about. That's insane.
Yeah, so I was like, that's cool, and just like went on with my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was telling Betsy Brandt, who played my mom on the show, I was like, yeah, she's interviewing One Direction tonight. And Betsy was like, you have to go with her.
Oh.
And I was like, I mean, yeah, that'd be absolutely fantastic if
I went with her,
but come on. And so Betsy went up to her and was like, you need to take this girl to the One Direction premiere tonight.
Oh.
I didn't even have a change of clothes. I went straight from work. They like rushed me to get off set in time. I looked
what on earth?
Horrific. I was just in like a like Urban Outfitters like long maxi dress, but not cute.
Oh God, the maxi dress.
It was 2013.
It was bad. It was really bad. I think I still own the dress just because...
You have to.
Yeah.
I own my Take Me Home tour outfit.
Of course. You don't like, you don't get rid of these things. Anyway, I thought I was just going to be like snuck into the premiere as like I was going to pretend to be like the sound guy and like hold a mic or whatever and just like be in the background. 2 seconds before, she was like, you're going to interview them.
No.
Wait.
I'm not kidding.
Two seconds?
2 seconds before. This is... And guys, I looked bad. Like, that's all I can really remember about the day. It was like, just shiny. Just so much shine.
Oh, because, okay, 17.
Yeah. She gave me like a list of questions to ask them, which was, Zane, congratulations on your engagement.
Right.
Oh, so that no.
was the time. It was that. Yeah, it I remember that time. Being the topic of the press junket.
And another question was, so what did you guys think of Miley Cyrus's VMAs performance?
No.
That's how old it is because she had done.
Yes, she twerked on Robin Thicke.
It was crazy. Like that was the moment.
And they were there.
And what are they going to say about it?
I mean, they didn't answer well. Like, but I will say, so I was like, I'm an actor, blah, blah, blah. And Harry goes, I thought you looked familiar.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And I was like. And he kissed me on the cheek twice.
What?
What?
Yeah.
What?
Like a hello.
Hold on a minute.
Yeah.
Juliet.
Zane didn't say a word to me. Of course. I was like, congrats on the engagement. He was like,
shy boy.
He said, shut up.
Shy.
He honestly said, shut up. He was like, leave me alone. Oh
my God. Did you have any community there with you to understand what you were going through? Okay.
Okay.
My mother. And one of Michael J. Fox's daughters came with me to the premiere. She met me after. And she was like a fan, but okay. I think she was kind of like,
is she younger or older than
she's my age, but okay. I think just like but a little more grounded in reality.
She was Michael J. Fox's daughter. And
exactly.
He was right, Marty McFly. Right.
Harry Styles, are you kidding?
Come on.
Kryptonite. At that age?
Yeah.
And that he age. Knew me? Or at least no. he said he did?
No, he probably definitely did. Was like, you he's do like look around, familiar.
He's like 2 years older than us. He definitely saw your episode of That's So Raven.
He must. He yes. saw it. Must have been his favorite. He must watch it every night before bed.
It's his favorite episode. And that was the actual inspiration he took when he was on iCarly.
That must right. have been it.
He was like, I'm going to pull from that.
Right. So I inspired him. Ultimately.
Julia inspired Harry Styles.
Is that a crazy story?
That's canon.
I'm actually insane.
I can't believe it happened. Like, I don't really think about it often.
You could be in a movie with Harry Styles. Like, that is something that could happen in the world.
I could, but I'm also, like, not into him right now at the moment.
Can we get
I feel like we did no intro and I just went right into
no, this. No, this is how it, the space
this
is.
This is what the space is. The Taylor Swift and Harry Styles of it all.
Yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm. Now, these are both, I feel like, complex fandoms in
they really
in
are.
Similar way.
Here's what I'll say. I think being a Taylor Swift fan has never been easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's never been fun.
Mm-hmm.
No, really. Like, I really think when she came out with Antihero and she was like, it must be exhausting. I was like, you have no fucking idea.
Oh.
Like, what we have gone through trying to defend you for decades.
like, overall, it's all just, Twitter polls.
It's so hard.
Yeah.
Like, I and that's what's really amazing. I think that when you meet another Swiftie, like true and true Swiftie, you've been through wars together.
Yeah.
And you've been through the reputation era. Like,
oh,
you've
Lord.
Been through the Kim K
Kanye.
Stuff. Like,
yeah.
you've been through so much. And you've been through, like, just the annoying things. Like, when she wrote Mean, that's the thing. Like, Taylor always has something to say. In the same way that I think Lena Dunham always has something to say.
Right.
And sometimes I think we just don't say it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that's the answer.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Is, like, even in Endgame, now I'm, like, really getting it. Do you know Endgame by Taylor Swift?
I think I've heard it.
It's off Reputation. Ed Sheeran has a verse.
Oh, I know.
And
this song,
he's basically, like, drama will follow you anywhere, but the like the safest thing is just to ignore it, believe me. And I always thought he like wrote that line like to Taylor. I was like, listen.
Yeah.
Like literally. So yeah, like it's been exhausting being a Taylor fan. And it's also been so rewarding, like when she has these highs, even though like Midnight's is not her best album and yet it's her highest whatever
oh, wow.
grossing. You know,
I haven't
like
heard that take yet.
I will stand by it. It's still great. I love her, but she's difficult. She's so difficult. But she's also like narrated all of my relationships and all of my heartaches and she's a wonderful poet. And I had to deal with her dating Harry Styles.
Yeah.
That wasn't fun for me.
No.
Like,
that wasn't fun for us.
That
it
was
wasn't
horrible.
Fun for anyone.
No.
That was actually horrible.
It wasn't fun. It wasn't fun when she dated Tom Hiddleston.
Or Joe Jonas.
Oh my God, remember that.
I was like, actually,
but we got really good songs out of those.
And it is also just like complex being in the Harry Styles fandom as well.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think this is a similar reason.
Because he bitches is all over the place doing a bunch of things that we have to be out here defending. Like, no, he didn't spit on Chris Pine. Like,
oh,
what was that about?
I would love to think that he did, though. Just for the plot. just for the absolute plot of it all, because also this was in his Olivia Wilde era.
Yeah, yeah. Which
was
wild.
I can't say that I was there for that era.
Not at all.
I'm not here for
and
it
then,
either.
Like, I, so all. I made a really like personal choice to not go to Love on Tour.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It was like,
talk about this.
Yeah. So basically I, since I've been with Harry since 2010, I just couldn't put up, and this is my own thing, I really couldn't put up with his global like fame.
Mm-hmm.
It was just too much for me, and I didn't love all the attention he was getting because I felt like I was sharing him all of a sudden.
Yes.
And,
there it is.
And yeah. And so basically I said, I'm not going to, and I, you know, I went to his other tours, whatever. And I said, I'm not going to be in a room full of 20,000 other girlies thinking that they know him better and support him more. I'm not going to fight through that sea.
I understand. The cross-contamination between the One Direction fans and then the new, like, ones who just found him last year. I respect anybody's entrance to loving anyone. But I'm just like, please understand, if I elbow you a little too hard in this pit, I'm having a
moment.
I'm
allowed to.
Respect your elders.
Respect Absolutely. Your elders.
Just respect your elders. Like, you can love whatever you love. It doesn't matter if you were, like, 1 year old when One Direction was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But God. If that were the case, then
there
you just need to respect
like
your
there
elders.
Are. There are.
I swear to God, because we did go to Love on Tour, and we were in the pit. And before he came on stage, they were playing. He has this playlist that he plays
of
before.
Course.
And And
see, I don't even want to hear it.
Best
right,
song ever. Best song ever. He played
right,
best song ever.
This, yeah.
And our group was the only people
that
singing
knew the
it.
Song. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And do y'all remember that music video when that dropped?
Absolutely.
Yes. Do you remember?
Some. Absolutely
that
remember.
That was some of the best cinema ever created.
That was so good. It was a whole sketch.
It was so
and
good.
And they committed.
Makeup,
they
lines.
Committed. Oh Zayn was in drag.
Zayn actually did that.
Yeah.
Zayn was in drag. And I was like, you know what? It's about time.
Yeah.
It is.
It's about time. He's beautiful.
So gorgeous.
And he was
look
beautiful.
At that face.
He
and
was.
It was. And I was just like, we were going hard.
Right.
We were going so hard. Everybody was looking at us sideways, and I wanted to scream, respect your elders.
Right.
Yeah.
Respect One Direction.
Just Absolutely. To pivot, just the same way there are people who weren't there when One Direction was there and they only know Harry, there are people who don't know Miley as Hannah. Like, they didn't know. They don't know what Hannah
are
Montana is.
Are you kidding?
I'm so serious.
Yes.
Are y'all Miley fans?
Yes.
Huge. Like,
okay,
I think
I think
I'm pretty sure Miley was like, my sexual awakening, my gay sexual
absolutely.
Awakening.
Absolutely. Mm. All of us.
If not if not Vanessa Hudgens, then Miley Cyrus, like at the same time.
Yeah.
I was like, we were both into her, but like at points Amber was like, I don't.
It was Amanda's.
I don't know anything. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
like I was so
was her
into her. I was like, and then Miley did this and then she did this. And then you know this dance move? Like,
I mean,
it was
like,
interesting.
I would love to hear your guys' take on the bangers era of Miley because I saw that concert live.
I had to step away.
I stepped away from that. Yes.
I had to step away from the dreadlocks.
As black women
and the
twerk.
Exactly.
Break,
that's why I just
want to
know like for y'all how that felt as a Miley stan for years before that.
Yeah.
I loved when I was in Europe when We Can't Stop dropped.
Oh,
loved
that's
it.
That's a good
I loved We Can't Stop.
Bangers has good songs. Like
and
I listen
also
to songs
I,
right
I
now.
Do, I love Wrecking Ball. I love Love Money Party. I was just blasting
oh my
that
God,
in the car.
I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys remember
Body? I love that song.
How about this one? I think you guys will probably hate Do My Thang.
I actually like that
I actually
one.
Do
it's
like
so
that song.
Good.
See, like when I took
it's
a break,
so
embarrassing.
I do like that song.
To go back and listen
Dang
to it, I'm like,
bitch.
This is really good. But when
you think I'm strange, bitch. Oh my God.
Like a fucking hurricane. Yes, it's good. But like
Stay
when everyone was listening
lane,
to it, I was like,
I did like the album. I just couldn't like, I unfollowed her on like Twitter and Instagram.
Well, she
like,
was going through it. Mm-hmm. We all witnessed. But then she was allowed to fucking bounce right back and go to like Malibu.
Exactly.
Exactly. We also talked about it.
I also like the like, I think it's called like Dead Pets.
Oh, Miley's Dead Pets.
Miley's Dead Pets.
Like,
I like
that
one.
That's wild to me that people don't know Hannah because there is no Miley without Hannah and vice versa.
Think of how long it's been off air.
You know what? I feel like she was having the same moment as probably you as being like wanting to distance herself from her Disney Channel days.
Yeah, I just didn't
do it in exactly
the same way.
And then she like had to like find herself. She found her voice. She can do anything. She always wanted to be a rock star. Okay?
Yeah.
And she is.
I'm a rock star is what she said. Like,
oh my God.
I really am
a
rock star.
I am a rock star.
Yeah.
Oh, good night,
that everybody.
An amazing album.
I love that album.
And I was on the show for that album. When the episode that I did, she performs Life's What You Make It.
Oh my
and
God.
I didn't even know the song when we were filming that.
Are you kidding?
Because it hadn't dropped yet.
Oh my God.
And I was like, iconic. This is pretty good.
That's so special.
But little do we know, it like became
that
an
was my
anthem.
Favorite
global.
Song.
An anthem.
Yeah. Global.
So let's
nobody's
make it
perfect.
Rock.
Come on.
So to speak on the That's So Raven experience.
Sure.
I was watching the second episode you were on with
okay.
Stanley.
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember these episodes or should I?
Yes.
Okay.
No, I
experienced them.
Because, well, yes, I know.
Well,
but
hold on. If people
like,
are listening, I was Sierra on That's So Raven.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
So I was her next door. I was her really annoying next door neighbor.
And that's everything that people tell you is
yes,
that you're
to
annoying.
This day.
But I want to say I was watching it in my age of 24 and I was like, you are so adorable. And we all thought you were annoying because we were little girls, too.
Okay.
At the same time, of course we would.
I'll take that.
But you're like actually adorable.
Thank you.
Yeah.
They put you in this like all, like monochrome. I'm so obsessed with monochrome as you were saying. But
right.
Like this blue jacket and you had these blue mm-hmm. little puffies. Do you remember this outfit?
Kind of.
You looked so adorable.
Thank you.
But I was gonna ask about the scenario where she sends you off on a picnic with Stanley and then you immediately think you guys are dating. And
okay.
I was like,
you might have to remind me about this,
right.
Honestly. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, because I don't remember this episode.
I watched it literally this morning.
Okay.
She goes, okay, Stanley, you and Sierra go on over to Sierra's house, have this picnic, because like Eddie and her are trying to like get rid of their annoying
right,
little neighbors.
Right, right, right.
And then Stanley comes around the back and is like, I need a woman.
Right.
And like, then
right,
you
right,
come
right.
and you're like, I can't find Stanley. And then
right.
Stanley breaks up with you like in front of, and then you're like, you stole my boyfriend?
Yes.
And I'm like,
oh,
were we?
To Raven.
Yeah, to Raven.
Right.
And I was like, was that age group, were we young enough to like, I guess, form like that obsession over our little, like when like dates that quickly at that age group? That was such a trope, I feel like.
Yeah, I will say that is not the first rule. So I also did 2 and a Half Men when I was around that age, maybe, mm-hmm. I think around that age. And my character was also trying to date the son on 2 and a Half Men. So I think there was something around that time where like they loved the idea of little girls being obsessed with these boys that want nothing to do with them.
Yes.
Talk about being a fangirl.
I know.
Oh.
I even had to kiss the boy in 2 and a Half Men on the cheek in the show. And I was 8 and I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
I would just go near him. And the director was like, so we do need a connection. We do need the lips to touch the cheek. And I was like,
you're so little.
I was so small. I mean, I was not fraternizing with boys at this age. I was dreaming
right.
about it, but
yeah.
I was not actually like,
you're like,
I didn't have a
what?
Boyfriend until I was 12.
Wow.
Yeah.
How old were you on Raven?
8.
Okay.
Because that was 2000. It came out in 2004.
Okay. Yeah. We filmed in 2003.
What?
Oh. Wow.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I just had like a brain
visceral reaction.
Like, yeah, you know.
I was like, that
takes
like,
a little bit.
In my mind, I was like, oh, it came out in 2008. And you filmed it in 2003. Like,
imagine that.
That would be crazy. No, but I think that it's like twofold, because I feel like all of us around that age were like, oh my God, there's a girl on screen who's our age.
Mm-hmm.
And we are obsessed with Raven. So if Raven thinks she's annoying, guess we do too.
Right.
Sure.
Like, even though it's like, we should have felt like a camaraderie because you're our age. Because like, someone our age is on Disney Channel. Like, someone our age is on Disney Channel. But
yeah.
We were like, God, like, if I was in her shoes, I would not be annoying to Raven.
Right. There's no, Raven would absolutely love me
Raven
if I was
me.
Half her age.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, like, looking back on it, like, if at this age too, or when I was like 16, if a little kid were following me around, I'd be so annoyed.
Right.
Yeah.
I'd be like, literally get out of my face.
Yeah.
But yeah, one of the cool things about being on that show at that age was that it was like all of our favorite show.
Yeah.
Like everyone. It was also just such a good show. Like,
it's so funny. It holds up so well.
It really does. And like my whole family watched it. Like my parents loved the show. Like it was just watchable. And I had been kind of working on a lot of shows that were inappropriate for my age group. So
right.
it was just kind of, and like boring for me.
Yeah.
Right.
So to get to be on something that everyone loved and like go into like the Baxter home. And I felt like
yeah.
I knew where everything was already because I'd been watching it for a year or however long it had been on. Like that was amazing to get to finally be in something that my friends could watch
yes.
and like come to the taping. And that was sick.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like, what was Raven like?
She was amazing. I mean, yeah. At the same time, I was a kid.
Yeah.
So it's not like we had these great, like, heart to hearts. Like, right. I was whisked away to school anytime mm-hmm. we had a break. But she was, I mean, she's so funny and so extremely easy to work with, extremely easy to play off of. And I've seen her a few times throughout the years.
Mm-hmm.
Just, like, randomly, I ran into her at, like, a juice place.
Oh, my God.
One time.
Los Angeles.
Yeah, in Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
Like, ran into her there. I ran into her on a lot a couple years ago. And, like, she's always still been, like, incredible.
That's so
sweet.
And
just, like, lovely. And I feel like she's also really come into herself, like, as a... Like the transition from being a child star that big
mm-hmm.
to then just like living the life she wants to live.
Huge.
Yeah. It is amazing. Yeah.
She's no, really I mean, she was also like a child actor.
Yeah.
Like you both were child actors.
She started acting when she was younger than me, I think. Wow. She was like a baby.
Yeah, she was like on the Cosby Show when she was three.
Yeah.
Little bitty. Were you a Disney Channel fan like in general before you like, booked her role?
Loved Lizzie McGuire. Loved Even Stevens. Mm. Those were probably like my two favorites before mm-hmm. Raven, and then like loved Raven, loved Hannah Montana.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Even Stevens movie is one of the best movies
in the
world.
Oh, it's so fantastic. I watched it again during the pandemic.
Same.
It's so good. I also worked with the dad from Even Stevens.
Oh my God.
Tom Virtue on a movie when I was like 10, and that was like peak celebrity for me. I was like,
oh my God.
Oh my God. I'm working with whatever his name is on the show.
Wait, I think so it's Steven. No, like, I think it's Lewis. It's Lewis.
No, Lewis is his son.
I think it's Steven.
It might be Steven.
I think his name is Steven Stevens. Steve.
What on earth? I think I was too young to really grasp that show, Even Stevens.
It was so good. And like,
I should go back and watch
Shia
it.
Shia LaBeouf was incredible on it.
Really?
Yeah.
Like truly his acting is so good.
Was that like, did you want to act like him?
I don't think he was like a role model, no.
How old were you when you started acting?
I was 7.
And okay.
And I like begged to. So, I really wanted to.
So like Raven was like 1 year into it.
Yeah.
You're really good at like, thanks. You're a really good child actress. Like,
thanks.
Sometimes, I don't know. I was talking to Amanda about
some
this.
Some of them suck.
No, but okay. Yes, okay, it's like, haha, but like, there's something about the formula of different shows now where I don't know if it's like what they're getting taught in acting classes or like how they're being directed on set, but like the delivery is just not as authentic.
It's just not hitting.
Not as
it's
grounded. Not,
yeah, it's not hitting. Mm-hmm. Like I really believe like Sierra has something to tell Raven. Like she's just it's the next thing on her brain. And it's like really good. But I feel like now sometimes it's just kind of like it's obviously a line.
That's So Raven was such good writing. So it was really easy to bring that to life. I wasn't like in classes as a kid. My mom coached me on all my auditions. And like, I've always been very good at comedy. That's been like my strong suit, I'll say. Like comedic acting, I'm not good at improv or stand up. Like I'm not a comedian. Mm-hmm. But like, I can take a script. And since I was a kid, I could be like, okay, I know how to make this funny.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really easy.
That's
it was really easy on That's So Raven in particular. I think a lot of, because I did a lot of Disney shows and here and there sometimes like you would definitely be told like more, like bring it up because Disney is so heightened and so big.
Right.
And so that was hard for me to contend with as a kid because it was just draining. It was just tiring. Yeah. Like
you're
those days were exhausting.
Yeah.
And they, you know, like I did this one show for Disney that never aired. It was Ali and AJ had a show that was, they were sisters who were witches and they went with Wizards of Waverly Place instead. So this never went, but it was so good. Ali and AJ I haven't seen them in years, but when I was working with them, they were the kindest people ever. I was also obsessed with their music.
Mm-hmm. That's so nice.
And I was just like, you know, the 10-year-old like smart aleck who like followed them around or whatever. And I remember there was like a scene where I had to be like listening to a conversation and like the camera was right on my face and I was like, my chin was like on a bust or not a bust, like something that would hold up a bust, you know, like
a pedestal.
Yeah. Like one of those things. And I just had to be looking like side to side and like,
okay,
the way that the director was like, more. I just like, it haunts me to this day because I remember I was like, how can I look more to one side and like add an eyebrow in and like it drains your body.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's really hard. And people, I think a lot of the time like shit on comedic acting and sitcoms and multicams. And I think it's the hardest stuff out there because it's so technical.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can't, I'm going to get like, whatever. Get drama's hard. Okay. We get that. But a lot of the time, if you're like not a very good actor, you can just keep your face really still and say the words mm-hmm. and like dramatic effect can come across well enough to, you know, pass for a random show. Mm-hmm. But like, you can't really hide being a bad comedic actor.
No. Because
yeah. it's all timing. It's all physicality. The director and the editor can do a lot in editing. But mm-hmm. like, as far as, you know, being in the room and auditioning,
you have to get the laughs. That's the answer. Yeah.
And it's all timing. So
I've always said comedy is harder than drama. Like you have, because drama, like you can lean into like very melodramatic music or like someone crying.
Yeah.
Or like, or really anything, but auditioning, if you're not making people laugh, if a show's not making somebody laugh, like it's very black and white. It's like, this isn't working as comedy.
I think that people are always so shocked when we see these comedic actors do a more dramatic role, like a Steve Carell or something. And people are like, he can act? And it's like, obviously.
Yes.
He's one of the funniest people on the planet. Like, you think he doesn't have that in his, you know, repertoire or whatever. Yeah. Like I'm never shocked when a comedic actor is incredible at drama. Cause I'm like, they are.
There's some knowledge about like human connection to like actually just know how to naturally have the room laughing.
Definitely. I always reference like Glenn Howerton on Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Who does he play?
He plays Dennis.
Oh, love.
And like, he's like classically trained. He went to Juilliard. So like
he
can sing really well. Like he does like a amazing, beautiful falsetto.
Yes.
And he's just so funny, but also like so grounded and scary as Dennis sometimes too. Yeah. Amber, you need to watch Always Sunny.
I've only seen because, bits and pieces.
Oh, it's incredible.
He's so good. He's like one of my favorite comedic actors because he's also very, very good at drama, you know?
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So speaking of like your work as an actor and also as a singer, like how do you think being a fangirl is central to your identity and how has it affected what you like to do, what you want to do with your life?
I feel like when everyone's a teenager, it's very cool to not like things.
Yes.
I think it's very much like, ew, that's lame, like blah, blah, blah. But I mean, like, now I'm thinking about it. I was such a Twilight fangirl. Like, the books, like, I went to the midnight releases at Barnes & Noble's dressed up as a vampire.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Like, you know, like, I think when I was a teenager, I kind of started to get out of that, like, wait, I actually love things and I love loving things and I would so much rather love something and geek out about it and just like, I don't know, it's just, it's, there's so much more joy in your life when you do love something. And so like, I remember for a long time pop music was not cool to like,
now it's
very cool, I would say again, but like I used to be so embarrassed that I loved Taylor Swift and I loved pop music and I loved all of that, but it brought me so much joy and it continues to bring me so much joy. And as far as it relates to my identity and my career, in I would say the last like 4 years, I've become, and this like sounds cheesy and dumb, but like I've become my own really big fangirl. This business will take every opportunity to tell you that you're wrong and that you're not enough and you're not this enough and that enough. And you know, you'll see everyone around you like skyrocketing and you'll just be like, why am I still on the ground? And that's like a really lonely and sad way to live, especially like I've been in my career for 20 years now, which is a big milestone, really, to be like, okay, I've been doing this professionally for 20 years. I'm clearly not going to like be happy when it's just external validation, when I book the job or when something airs. So I had to figure out a way to like be happy every day in my life, because mm-hmm. I don't enjoy being unhappy mm-hmm. and I've spent years being unhappy. So I think when I realized like, okay, I want to be happy and I really want to like myself and how I look and how I, what I have to offer, mm-hmm. like being my biggest fan other than my mom is my biggest fan, but you know, like it's been really, really instrumental to my growth as an actor. Like I'm in acting class right now and I love being in acting class and I love like knowing that I know what I'm doing. Like, of mm-hmm. course I want direction and I want notes and I want to collaborate, but like at the end of the day, this is like a Love Island thing, but like I back myself. Like
absolutely.
I really do, because like I've been working so hard mm-hmm. and I do have, you know, enough of a resume to prove that like, okay, I don't think I'm in the wrong field.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, as long as I'm there being like, I know I did good work on this audition. I know I did good work on set today. That's all that I have control over. And it's so freeing. Oh,
that was so beautiful. I agree with so much of what you were saying. And I think that, so basically fangirling helped, fangirling over something else, like helped you see how you deserve to be lifted up the same way you were lifting anything else that you love up.
Absolutely.
That's so.
That was more eloquent.
But that, no, but that's.
But yes, I meant that.
That is that, but that's so amazing. And that's so beautiful, because I feel like I have also started just doing that in life.
How great does it feel?
It's just like, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm cute. Let's leave the house.
Yeah.
Things change from when you're a child to a teenager to a young adult.
Yeah.
And it's great that you can carry that with you and mm-hmm. like, you know, it's like, yes, this is what I want to do, this is what I'm passionate about.
Yeah,
like I think fangirling gives you also passion, like to feel, to be able to have the space and allow yourself to feel passion and like mania about something it's like, it's literally cathartic. It's literally an act of catharsis. And all the stuff that you listed, like Twilight, pop music, Taylor Swift, even Love Island, like
like huge,
absolutely
huge for me.
All those things that I listed, it's like what teenage girls like, and it's like the people shitting on stuff that teenage
and
girls
teenage
like.
Girls run the world.
They
everything would flop without teenage girls.
And I love the that you were saying that it's like just taking away the external validation, you genuinely have the want to do it, like this is the right thing for you. That's actively how fangirls present, because they're out here screaming whether everybody's like making fun of them or not. They're like, okay, I'm still really happy about this.
Yeah.
And I don't care how you're judging me, because I'm happy about it.
Yeah. And like, also nothing's prettier than like seeing like just a group of happy people
dancing, mm-hmm.
you know,
screaming.
Like, oh my God, my best memories have been in full fangirl mode of just like dancing to, like, what comes to mind is I went to a Lorde concert way before the pandemic.
Oh my God.
And my best friend at the time, like, we were both there and Perfect Places was playing and we were just dancing, and I'd never felt such like full body euphoria.
Absolutely.
I know.
Yes. You know?
That is how it, did you get tickets to Taylor Swift?
Uh-oh. I did not.
Oh my God. I'm so sorry.
Did you guys?
Moment of silence.
No. So we are not in the Taylor Swift community, but we respect everyone.
That's okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're from Tennessee. We're from Memphis, Tennessee. And so, you know. She's big there.
Yeah.
Of course.
Well, and she's not even from there.
She's not
no,
from
she's
there.
She's from Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
However, the Tennessee girlies love her.
Yes,
love to put
has.
On their cowgirl boots and go to the concert.
Leave school and at lunchtime to make it to Nashville.
For me, Taylor Swift was like, our neighbor played our song and was like, listen to this. And we were like, and I was like, what, who is this? This is the best song I've ever heard in my
life. She's on to something here.
She's on to something. And so I've always loved her hits. Uh-huh. I love 1989, but I've never been a Swiftie.
Mm-hmm. It's really daunting. I feel like if you didn't start at the beginning, it's very difficult to just jump in without the backstory and the trials and tribulations and the years and years of, you know, just commitment.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I could start today and be like, let's see, like, how's her discography, you know, like,
yeah.
So that's fine.
That's the thing about music artists, I feel like, that is daunting, is like, for me, watching 45 hours of Doctor Who is less daunting than listening to an entire discography for some reason.
Absolutely.
Because it's like, music, it's so short, but it's so emotional. Mm-hmm. It's the song is so short, but it's like visceral.
Yeah.
You know
what it's
I mean?
Also, yeah. Okay, belting a song, have y'all thought about this? It's kind of like meditating because it's breath work.
Oh my God. like diaphragm intact.
Yes, like my thought is only on like keeping this list, like lyric while I'm driving. Like I after like a really good belting song comes off, like goes off, I'm like, mm-hmm.
Needed that.
Yeah.
Needed that.
Are you guys like musical theater girlies at all?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love my select musical theater. Like did musical theater since I was in second grade.
Okay.
Love like Sweeney Todd, In the Heights, right. Into the Woods.
Always just in the ensemble.
Mamma Mia,
me.
Chicago. I could go on. Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
But I all my favorite like movies, TV show have music in them. That's why I'm a Disney Channel girl. That's yes. why I'm like a Glee girl.
Yes.
You're a like, Glee girl. Okay, see, I missed it.
Oh,
I
really?
Probably.
Damn. Yeah. I just feel like when people sing their emotions, it's so much more emotional.
It's relayed in a better way.
But what about you? I'm sure, you're a singer.
Yeah, I mean, I love musical theater. Yeah. I was just thinking like my best belting songs in the car, meditating, driving. Mm-hmm. They're like, you know, like Maybe This Time from Cabaret.
That's right.
Or
yes.
like a song from Smash and just like gripping the steering wheel and like veins just popping out of your neck.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's so yeah. good.
Don't Rain on My Parade.
Oh.
Yes.
Please. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Such a release.
All of those.
What is your dream role?
Sally Bowles in Cabaret. I would love to like just step into that for 6 months. Mm-hmm. No longer. I don't want to do Broadway mm-hmm. like that. I want a life.
It's tiring.
I also feel like Sally Bowles is like attainable, like you can still live and do that role, as opposed to like if you're Elphaba you can't talk to anyone outside, like you just have to save it all. Honestly, like Emma Stone has done it. She's done everything that I would love to
Emma
do.
Emma Stone?
I saw her as Sally Bowles on Broadway. So, you know, and like her role in Easy A, which I played the young version of her in that. That's like a dream acting role for me, I would say, mm-hmm. because it's comedic and it's heartfelt and there's a musical number in it. Like, are you
yes.
kidding?
Oh,
like,
yes!
And you're
that
working with like
awakening.
Penn Badgley.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that must have been fun.
Yeah.
You know, I can't imagine that was too much of a hard job for her.
No.
Oh my God.
That
so
was good. That sounds just
that
like it.
I love Easy A.
What was your experience with the That's So Raven fandom? Like,
It was big. Like when it came out, I remember like I would go to like Costco with my mom and like there would be a line of kids like following us throughout the aisle.
Oh my God.
Like it was really crazy, especially when it first came out. And I will say that like to this day, I still get recognized from That's So Raven.
Yeah.
When I was at USC, mm-hmm. Blaze Pizza.
Yes.
Someone who worked there gave me a free pizza.
Because
she was
right.
like, you were Sierra.
Yes.
Oh my God.
yeah, you're everybody's neighbor.
Yeah. And then there was another big, so at the time it was very cool, but there wasn't like social media.
Right.
It really wasn't.
Well, we were babies.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. like no one had that. It would just be like people would ask for pictures a lot in person, and then mm-hmm. sometimes I'd be like out eating with my family and like a flash would go off and I'd be like,
God.
Oh, you know, just like ask, just like, yeah. this isn't gonna be a cute photo. But yeah, there were like, you know, websites and message boards where people would talk to me and stuff, and that was cool. But then there was a re-emergence of like the nostalgia and everything with TikTok, like over the pandemic. So I joined TikTok in like 2020, and that was really affirming in a lot of ways. Cause it was weird when I was younger, or like middle aged, I guess, mm-hmm. I was very embarrassed about my like Disney mm-hmm. Channel work. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure why, but I think it was some sort of like, I don't know what it was. I clearly need to think about that in therapy, but I was like, I don't want to talk about it. Like, it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and I also was like bullied a lot in school for acting. I was not mm-hmm. like, you know, so people did
connect.
Not think it was cool at my school. Just like random people. You know, and so it was something that I tried to hide, and like the idea of being like a child actor was like demeaning to me. I was like, no, I'm just an actor. You know, it doesn't matter that I did it as a kid. But then I like kind of leaned into the TikTok thing, at least for a second, and the response like was really, really, it felt very good. I mean, there were also people who or not nice, but yeah. I'm so used to that at this point that like mean comments, I mean, they still hurt, but I don't really care. And yeah. so it was cool to see that people still, you know, 15 years later remember.
Yeah.
They like, yeah. yeah.
We remember.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like that's again playing into like this shame element of fangirling.
Yeah.
It's like people were like, who, even if they did like That's So Raven or like Disney Channel when we were in middle school to like high school to college, like it was still kind of like, oh, we don't talk about Disney Channel though. Like, don't talk yeah, about like yeah. High School Musical. Don't talk about being obsessed with all that stuff. That's for kids.
Mm-hmm. And like, I used to judge other people who had been on Disney who like posted about it a lot. I was why are they bringing that up? Like, you know, and now it's like, oh no, they were actually being smart and like building a fan base and like helping their career. Whereas yeah. I was like, I will not post anything about that.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's also when you get older, like you were saying, you had such a cool life. Like when you were 17, you went to the-
Yeah, it's crazy.
To that, the One Direction premiere, which is insane.
I actually think I might've seen that interview now that I'm
I have to have because I've seen every interview ever.
I must have been like, because if I saw it, I must have been like, that's Sierra from That's So Raven right. interviewing One Direction.
Right, that's what I'm thinking.
Weird. Like, not a duo you think of.
Yeah. How did you get in that stomach?
It was just a bounce house.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool, nice. But I wonder how hypothetically in the show Sierra actually got in there.
I know, because she's like, then she gets out she and gets Raven's out. Like, and how'd you get out? And she's like, well, I don't remember, but it wasn't easy.
Oh my
like,
God.
It was hard. That's funny,
oh my
right?
God.
Yeah, honestly.
Thank you so much for being on the show. Is there anything you want to say? Last comments?
Yeah, no. I'm just happy to have been here. And honestly, like, it's really nice to just, like, congregate over liking things.
Yeah.
That's just, it fills me with endorphins.
Yeah. Yes,
because I could talk positively. About I could talk about this stuff all day. It's so lovely to be obsessed with things, and we've grown up in a really lovely time. Like, we mm-hmm. have been given so many cultural moments
that's right
to experience.
Yeah, so. we saw it as it happened.
It's been special. Do you have anything you want to plug?
I don't know when this is coming out, but I'm on NCIS right now. I have a couple episodes airing May 15th and the 22nd.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
If this comes out after, then they're streaming on Paramount Plus. So check it out.
Yes.
Check out Juliet on NCIS. Yes. Follow us at fangirl.central on Instagram.
Yes. What's the TikTok handle?
Everything is just my name, at Juliet Golia.
At Juliet Golia on all socials.
On all socials. And remember, if you like this episode, if you like this show, leave us a 5-star review wherever you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anything. We also are doing our musical review Disney Vortex coming up May 25th and in June. So check that out online. And
keep it chaotic.
Keep it chaotic.
Woo. And the music comes on. Yes.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.